There are just three words for our text friends, and I hope the Lord will use them. The last three words in the 63rd chapter of Isaiah, the first verse. The book of Isaiah, chapter 63, the last three words in the first verse. Mighty to save. Mighty to save. Every other word, every other chapter will be useless to us unless the dear Spirit of God show us the power of Christ in it, in his application of the word to our souls. And when a word is applied, the good man says, 'Tis then it does me good. It may be otherwise just as a tinkling brass or a sounding cymbal, because we have no spiritual power in ourselves. It is the Spirit of God that quickens. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to reveal the things of Jesus. He sheds a light on the precious scriptures of God, causes at times words and sometimes a few lines to appear to us as though they were written in gold. And when they're applied, it is true according to this blessed book. The words are like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And that, I believe, what I have felt concerning a little of these three words. Mighty to save. I would like to take you back just a few years since living in Bedfordshire, when so many things were so troublous, and I felt at times, where will everything finish, Lord? And it was days of darkness. I rose one Sunday morning, and I said this to the Lord, and I felt, this is all I can say. I'm finished, because I feel that Jesus is not to me as much as I hoped he was. And I mechanically began to get ready for the Sabbath, having a nearly 60 miles to drive that Sunday morning, and I felt it's useless to go. I walked to and fro the little old kitchen in the little cottage we used to live in, and I didn't know what to do. And while I was going to and fro, the Lord drew near, and three words applied. Mighty to save. Mighty to save. And it broke in. Mighty to save is Christ the Lamb. Never forget it, you know. As I had to come to you today, it wasn't the same power, but it was the confirmation of it. Mighty to save. And that is suitable for poor needy sinners like us, friends, like us. You see, he is mighty to save because he has love as well as power. He is mighty to save because he's determined to save, because he watches over the paths of his people. When we see not him, when we look back, and I often have to look back, do you not, in your unregenerate state, look back to the hole of the pit from whence we have been digged. Oh, friend, that hole of the pit, when we sometimes have a view of that pit that we drop down into in an unregenerate state before the Lord ever spoke to us. You ever consider it? You ever consider your calling, brethren? God called you, God, who called you out of darkness. You consider this hath revealed unto you the person of his dear Son, the one and one only, and the only source, and the only power, the only person, the only God. He is the Godhead, you see, with his Father in his sonship, Jesus Christ, mighty to save, suitable to the needs of these sinners who have come, and many of them run to the very end of all things. Not the righteous. Haven't you had to bless your God for that truth, friend? Not the righteous. Oh, no. Sinners, sinners, bankrupt. Hell deserving, ruined, lost, undone, determined, rebellious, unregenerate. And so the catalogue goes on. And this came a night or two ago before we went to bed and read it. And such were some of you, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye washed. Mighty to save, he's determined to save. There may be some of you, for your I never shall be saved. You feel that you've had a form of religion. You have never felt the power of Christ. Sad, you know, to have a form of religion. I have a dear friend, and he often says this to me. I fear that I go to chapel so much and I never reap anything. And I feel very concerned about him. Very concerned. He's a dear friend because he is extremely kind and affectionate to us, both of us. You see, he says, I never seem to have anything applied, never brought home like I wanted, never obtained the blessing, never to really feel Jesus is precious to my soul, my transport and my trust. Jewels to their gaudy toys, and gold is sordid dust. Let us be honest, friend. Is he mighty to save, and in return, you and I desire that he should take the first place in our affections? Oh, it's so easy. I find it so easy to forget him. And I wouldn't forget him a minute if I could help it. The least toy, and you find this Jesus, who is mighty to save, you put him away in some corner. It's true. He speaks, he says in this word. He speaks in righteousness. He speaks to you, sinner, if you're a needy one. He'll tell you that you are justified freely by his righteousness. Why? Because like Paul, not having mine own righteousness. What's it worth? Justified. Why, while I was doing a little housework this morning, there was such a light shone upon it, justified freely, standing before a holy God, without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing, through the merits of this dear Son of his, Jesus Christ, who is mighty to save. Friends, He's not only mighty to save, he's willing to save, far more willing to save than you and I are willing to be saved. You think of your aggravated nature and mine too against him. The one that has done so much, he has brought you up out of that horrible pit from whence you had slipped down in an unregenerate state. Think of it with the ungodly. Think of your companions. Think of your deeds. Think of your language. Think of the places where you used to go. And he's mighty to save because he loved a sinner and a wretch like you. You consider it tonight. The dear man, he says, I look to the hole. He looked there. He couldn't forget it. Now, some of you may say, this is not me tonight. It's not me. Now let us mind this. Let us mind that spirit of self-righteousness where we would set ourselves on that stool or upon that perch, you know, where we say, well, I've never been in that condition, but you know, I've said many a time, whatever place, state or condition we are in, we're all sinners. And one sinner, one sin, friend, is enough to damn a whole world into everlasting misery, let alone one sinner. We are sinners. This has come home to me so many times. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then that brings us on an equal place, doesn't it, before God. Now, it is the same salvation, the same power, the same Savior that will be needed to save the one who has been sheltered and preserved as the one that has gone headlong and determined to have their own fill of ungodliness. The same way, the same grace. Wonderful mercy, isn't it? Wonderful love, blessed grace, free mercy. Sovereign it is from beginning to end when you consider this. Jesus, God's dear Son, who was willing enough to come down that he might save his people, what from? All their sins. Where's your hope? What are you building on? Who are you building on? Where are your affections? Jesus, God's dear Son, wrapped in humanity for deeds that I have done. I believe, friend, we talk about application, but I believe the good Spirit of God, he applies this, he applies conviction into our souls to such a degree at times that we have to say, I am the man, Lord, I am the man. Haven't you ever had a view from your own self from the very time that you could almost walk? I only said at the tea table with our friend today, and not long ago the Lord took me back from when I could begin to walk. And that was when I was about 4 years old, I can remember back there. And he took me right through my life. Look, 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 my son, look, all through your life, until my heart was broke before him. Do you know that? That'll make you want a mighty Savior, mighty to save, is Christ the Lamb, willing to save. He saves willingly but lovingly, and he does it tenderly, but he does it effectually. It is by the shedding of his precious blood that these sinners are brought nigh unto God. You think that a precious atoning blood of this dear Jesus that is your sufficiency, friend, to bring you that peace in your heart and mind between God and your never dying soul. Do you know it? Peace by his cross has Jesus made. We believe and hope some of us have had a few moments here and there in this life where that peace so penetrated our soul's sorrows that we've been lifted above all the sorrow of sin and iniquity. And also this, to realize and to be made to realize we were the person concerned in it. And Jesus was the one concerned in giving his life, in becoming the sacrifice for his own dear people. Now, where do you stand? What have you got for a religion, friends? Jesus is a mighty Savior. Helpless souls have here a friend. He has borne their misbehavior and his goodness knows no end. O ye helpless, come and on his grace depend. Have you ever been brought there? Dependent. Wonderful thing, you know, to be a dependent upon Christ, isn't it? You see, you were an alien, so was I, by nature. Aliens, rebels, made sons and made daughters. And these are made dependent upon their elder brother, upon the great high priest, upon the blessed advocate, that every need, every desire, every prayer must ascend up to him, and therefore they prove, Lord Jesus, all my springs are in thee, because it comes from him. He's mighty. Why is he mighty? Because he has an equality with his Father. You know, some people want to deny this, but they can't. He has taught me this, an equality. Even so, the Father says of him, he's mighty to save, and it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and it hath pleased the Father that he should have the preeminence. Friend, there is the hope, your only hope. This is the only one upon whom your hopes shall be built, for salvation first and eternity heaven second. You don't have it round the other way. You have it salvation first. On earth they sing of his salvation. On earth when they are blessed with this power of his, mighty to save, because he is one with his Father, the Prince of Peace, the King of Grace, the Friend of Sinners. He invites the poor and the needy into his banqueting house, and he says, come, sit at table with your Lord and eat celestial food. And the sinner says, what, me, Lord? Me? A wretched sinner like me? And he says, there it is, my child, my son, my daughter. However great your need, give me your heart, let me your sorrows bear. 'Tis not your wisdom, power or art can save you from despair. How can you be saved by him? There is none other name in heaven by which we can be saved. You know, friends, we have not got enough Jesus Christ today. This is our trouble. It's enough, plenty, too much of material and such a little of Jesus. It's true, you know. My hope, my only hope's in thee. O Jesus Christ, be merciful to me. The poor man on the cross, he cried to him. Have you ever had that cry put in your heart? Remember me, remember me. Go about your work, your business. And you look within, don't you? And however much room is there for this Jesus, friends. When I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild. Can I deem myself a child? I felt sometimes in my life, you know, that I could run away from myself, haven't you? And then, you know, you'd only run further from him, wouldn't you? You can't get rid of self. You can't force yourself to Christ. But how do you come? You come in your rags. You come in your nakedness. You come in your filth. You come in your shame. And you hear that blessed gospel invitation of his. Come unto me. What for? What for? I am, says Christ, your glorious head. I'm the one that gives salvation. May we attention give the resurrection of the dead, the life of all that live. Takes me back some years in a chapel in Surrey one afternoon, and the old deacon long gone to glory, and he gave out that hymn. But he said, you know, he told me in the dinner hour, I've had 6 months of darkness, and as if Jesus had been hidden away from me. But he said he broke in with it. I am, says Christ, your glorious head. Never forget it all those years back. Is he yours? Where is our salvation to come from if it doesn't come from him? All our thoughts, you know, all our doings, all our deeds, all our chapel going, all our prayers and Bible readings, and any conversation we might have, let us see the sum and substance of all that. Is it Jesus? Is he in it, friend? Does your heart desire that he should save you, and that without any measure? Because you see, without him, we are lost. Lost. Not only ruined, we're lost. Terrible thing to feel it experimentally. I'm lost, I'm lost, I'm lost. Where can a sinner fly who feels their load of sin and guilt? Where? Why, sometimes I felt there can't be any hope for such a sinner as me. But he says there is, there is. Maybe some of you will have this hope raised up in your latter end. You may say, I've been going to the house of God. I've made some sort of profession, and I've never felt the nearness of Christ, the blessedness, the reality of Jesus Christ like I hear others. You will, friend, you will. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I believe there's some here tonight, you would almost feel you could part with your right hand to know that that was for you. That he came on this earth to seek out you. What did the good man say? He came to seek us out, and you and me the worst. Not offended, are you? We are taught right, we shan't be offended by what the Holy Spirit teaches us. Thou art the man, thou art the woman, thou art the child. Comes right home, the need for Christ. O wretched man, said Paul, that I am, who shall deliver me? This is the real heart cry of the people of God. Who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? Who can deliver you? This one who is mighty to say, Jesus. Have you ever tried him, friend, to see if he'll listen to your poor cry? Have you? We sang this at Ordinance on Sunday. I had such a confirmation of it too. I said to the deacon going along, the hymn for ordinance, 447. Pity a helpless sinner, Lord, who would believe thy gracious word. He said, I was going to open the service tonight with that. It's one spirit. But oh, you know, I believe the Lord led us a little. Pity me. Pity me, Lord. Here I am. Prostrate at Jesus' feet. Prostrated because of your own sinful inclinations. Friends, if we live to be 100 years of age, we shall still carry that about in this body of sin and death. That's the worst part of it, isn't it? Mighty to save. What can he save us from? Ourselves, ourselves, ourselves. Our worst enemy, our worst enemy. Never forget the dear old man. Years ago in a chapel down near the East Coast, and he said to me one Wednesday night, he was about 94, and I looked at him, I thought, godly old soul, I've got such love to him. I said, whatever must it be, you must have one foot on the verge of heaven. He said, my boy, if you live as old as I am, you'll find out the conflict is as great or greater then than it is now for you. And I don't mind telling you, friends, I felt as I could weep, but I've had to prove this. It is a continual looking unto Jesus. It is a continual coming back to Jesus. It is a continual confession to Jesus. What am I? What am I? Don't you have to ask that? What is he? What think ye of Christ? What do we think of him, friend? Mighty to save, powerful, and full of love, tender, and full of pity. Pity, yes, but compassionate. When you find this working together, even in an ordinary person, pity, love, and compassion, you know, you say, well, that does look wonderful. It's grace, I should say. Grace. A person shows that to another. What of him? All his graces. You'll have to prove, without thy graces and thy love, I were a wretch undone. We are, we are. Oh, if only I could preach him, friend, mighty to save, so much so that he was lifted up on that rugged cross. He was nailed there for sins not his own. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He endured suffering, sorrow, grief, and shame, and the hidings of his Father's face, and still he bid the dying look unto him. Are you feelingly in that condition, as if you are dying without hope? Then he says, look unto me, and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else beside me. If you have a view of that, friends, at Calvary, they led him away as far as to Calvary, and they crucified him there. Not for his sins, for yours. We read it ordinance Sunday night, what we've never read before. A part of the second chapter of Acts, where Peter brought the charge home to those people of old then. You, who with wicked hands have crucified and slain. I said that's each of us in this chapel. And it's the same here tonight at Uffington. If we ever get to heaven, friends, it'll be by the merits of God's dear Son, who is willing to save sinners like us. Not the best, the worst. Not to bring this and to say, well, now I don't want to get to heaven if such and such a person is going to be saved. This is wrong, it's wrong, I'm sure that's wrong. The very worst of sinners Jesus came for. Who did he come to? You think of that poor woman of Samaria, poor thing. Yet you know, a good many have said, oh, I don't want anything to do with her. He found her out. He must needs go through Samaria. Oh, I wonder what our reaction would be if we ever came across such a character as that. Would we have to say, oh, I don't want anything to do with her. Don't want anything to do with her. He did. Jesus did. We believe he loved her. We may well ask this question, do we hope he loves us? Do we hope we have an interest in his precious blood? One penned a verse something like this, or a hymn, not what we sing, but it's gospel and truth, and can it be that I should have an interest in the Saviour's blood? Oh, if the Lord brings that home, that inquiry, that, and not only the verse, but the words, and applies them, I want it settled, Lord. Mighty to save. He can save in all sorts of places, and he can save out of all sorts of conditions, whether it is in grace for the soul, or whether it is family, or whether it is business concerns. Don't let us forget, friends, everything is in his hand. One has put it, heaven and earth at his command. He waits to answer prayer. Have you got children who trouble you? Have you got business affairs that trouble you? He's mighty to save. You try him, friend. There isn't anything under the sun but what I have at times had to take to him and beg of him. Here it is, Lord. Here it is. I am oppressed, but oh, undertake for me. Will he do it? He did for Hezekiah, and he'll do it for you, my fellow sinner. He will. He will. I say again, you try him. This poor sinner has tried him. And the result has been this, having obtained help from God, I continue to this day. Jesus has sustained. He lifts up the light of his countenance upon you. He bids you look, does he not? You may say, I have seen him. You may see him, friend, when he's revealed from the manger to the cross, to his offices in heaven this night. It's true. And he's mighty to save. I will remember once seeing him as he was a babe, a child. And I believe he was put in my arms of faith. And for a few moments of time, I nursed the King of Glory in the affections of my heart. And I felt, this is he, God's dear son. It's he. Has he ever been shown to you? You may say, well, I don't know quite what I'm looking for. If you have the longings of your heart begun and the desires by the Holy Spirit, let me put it in two words to you. What will you be seeking and looking for? This. Jesus only. Doesn't matter about what people will think about your religion. It is to be measured by the Lord, by him, by Jesus. I once put this in someone's Bible that we gave to them. Jesus, make thyself to me a living, bright reality. Now, I hope tonight that is what the dear Spirit of God will do for each of us. And whether you're at business, at work, pleasure, whatever it's innocent pleasure, or wherever it might be in worship, you may feel something akin to this. I love the Lord because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Friend, if he's raised a hope up in your heart that he's done something for you, and that something is this, he gave himself for you and died for you and hung upon that cross for you, and he, by the shedding of his precious blood, he put away your sin. You tell him how much you love him. You don't want these stones to cry it against you, do you? Nothing so sweet on earth as to feel a little love to this precious Jesus that's mighty to save, and to feel I could tell to sinners round what a Savior I have found, to point to his redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. While I was doing the washing yesterday morning in the kitchen, there was a few moments when the preaching of this gospel was made so important, so precious to my poor soul, I felt, Lord, I can spend and be spent until I die in this cause of thine. Why? Because he's mighty to save. Oh, if I've got one here tonight, you're at the end of the road, end of your tether, and you have to say, my hope is perished from the Lord. Turn again to the stronghold, friend. Look to Jesus, kind and strong, for he has mercy. Join with power. I hope you'll tell me our next visit, he's come. And he bless me. Amen.